Doug and Donna was telling me they actually performed with their puppets at a Chick-fil-A down by where they lived. That's pretty amazing to be able to go in there and do that. It was obviously, I assume, a Christian-type theme. Chick-fil-A is, you know, a Christian-based restaurant, fast food, fast chicken. And that's neat. Have you done that in any other businesses or... Yeah, a lot of nursing homes, yeah.
Rehab hospital.
Yeah. That's neat. That's neat. Nursing homes would love that. Yeah. They're slowly starting to open up the nursing homes. We need to move to Texas. That's what we need to do. Mississippi, Florida, everything's open down there. Huh? NRA. Oh, yeah, they moved to Texas, yeah. They left New York. Why stay in New York anymore, right? Nobody likes the NRA up here, except those of us that are members. So, but they're gone. James chapter 1. And also go over to Proverbs 18. I'll tell you what I'm going to read here shortly. But look at Proverbs 18 and James 1. 18, James. Find James 1, but go over to Proverbs 18. I want to read a verse just in Proverbs 18 first, and then we'll go over to James. Keep your finger in James. Don't remove that finger. Leave it right there. Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, that they may love it, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. James chapter 1, verse 19. James 1, 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Look at verse 26. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." We're going to talk tonight about how we need to watch our mouths. How we need to watch our mouths. If there's one thing that can destroy a person more than anything else, it's the tongue. More than physical, more than anything else. The tongue has this ability to be able to destroy a life within a very short amount of time, just by the words that come off the tongue and out the lips of an individual. I don't know about you, but there's been things in my life that I wish I hadn't said. Anybody else like that? Even as a teenager, I can vividly remember still saying some things to my mother that I wish I had never said. I mean, I wasn't cursing and swearing, but just some foolish things, some things that I just wish I'd never said to my mother. Things that I've said to my wife and my family, kids over the years. I wish we had a rewind button. We can just go back and then delete those things, but we can't do that. We can't go back and delete the words that we've said. We have to watch our mouths. We have to watch the words that we say. We have to watch the sentences that we use. We really need to be, as the Bible says, we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak. Some people, it's the opposite. They got to talk all the time. That's all they do, is just talk. Hardly ever listen. You try to talk to them, you can tell they're not listening. Have you ever talked to somebody and you know they're not listening to you? we're like that. You're talking to somebody and you know they're not listening. They're on their phone. They're watching TV, zooming by you, you know. Looking at a computer screen or looking at somebody else or looking at something, they're just not listening. What's the best way to listen to somebody? With your eyes. You look at the person in their eyes and you listen to them. You don't interrupt them. You just listen to them. Let them finish. And if they ask for you to give an opinion, you give an opinion or some counsel or some wisdom. If they don't ask, sometimes it's better just to be quiet. That's hard to do. It's not an easy thing to do because we have to make sure that we get our two cents in there. We have to make sure that we put our amazing wisdom into this. Arthur Snyder, writing in the Chicago Daily News, says that the average person can see a dot as small as 8/8000ths of an inch in diameter. That's tiny. But this is about 14,000 times larger than the smallest known virus that's out there. Yet these microbes are the cause of at least 500 human diseases, these viruses, some of which are very serious and can even be fatal. There's a strain was responsible, of course. We know, we remember the flu epidemic. Well, we don't. We weren't around. Anybody around during a flu epidemic in 1918 and 19? Jim? So, Jim, what was it like? No. There was the flu epidemic of 1918 and 1919. That virus, the flu virus, took more lives than all the years of World War I. 675,000 Americans died as a result of that. 50 million people died worldwide of that flu epidemic in 1918 and 1919. Far more than the coronavirus I wrote down what the coronavirus has done so far. Worldwide, there's been 117 million cases. About 70 million people have recovered from this, and worldwide, 2.59 million deaths. Now, that's 2.59 more than we would ever want. But it's nothing like what happened in 1918. In the U.S., there's been 29 million cases, approximately, with 524,000 deaths to date with the coronavirus. And so this little tiny virus, whether it's the COVID-19 or whether it's the flu or whether it's something else, is deadly. But the Bible tells us of another small thing that can inflict extreme and great harm. More harm than a virus, more harm than a COVID-19, more harm than a flu. The Bible calls it a little member. It's known as the tongue. And unfortunately, there's no vaccine to bring its deadly effects under control. People are getting a vaccine now for the COVID-19. Some of you have done that here in the church. There'll be others, obviously. There'll be millions that will be taking the vaccine to try to mitigate the virus. And I don't tell anybody they should or shouldn't. You do whatever you want. Personally, I'm going to avoid that as long as I possibly can. I don't want the vaccination. But that's me. I don't even get a flu shot every year. That's just me. I have to get a tetanus once in a while because, you know, you get caught, whatever. I do get those periodically, but that's the only thing that I've had. I've never had a flu shot. I've never had all the other vaccines that are out there. You can go to Walmart and go to Kenny Drug and you can just stand there and they can pop you full of needles, you know, anything that you can think of vaccinated. It'd be nice if we could get a vaccination for this tongue. But we can't. It's been estimated that most people speak enough in 1 week to fill a large 500-page book. I like to read novels, and most of my novels are 500 pages or more. That's a lot of words. It takes me more than a week to read the novel, and I just read a little bit a day. But in an average lifetime, this would amount to 3,000 volumes. Think about that. 3,000 volumes. And that is 1,500,000 pages of your words. Wouldn't you like to just go back and read all the words you've ever said? No. No. There's some words you don't ever want to hear said again, right? There are some things you don't ever want to know about. Oswald Chambers said this, "The great test of a man's character is his tongue." I like that. The great test of a man's character is his tongue. This story is told of three pastors who went fishing together way up in northern Canada. And they were having fun. And while they were there, they got quite cordial with one another and they began to talk about their innermost thoughts. One confessed that he had been guilty of certain sins and he named them to his two other comrades. And then he urged the other two to confess their weaknesses also. The second pastor confessed that he too had certain weaknesses and recounted them in detail to the other two pastors. The third pastor just sat there for a while and remained silent. Finally, they pressed him to let them know what his weaknesses were. Finally, he said, "Brethren, I don't think you want to know what my weaknesses are. But since you insist, I'm going to tell you. I love to gossip and I can't wait to get home." And you know what? That's true for a lot of people. Christians sometimes love to gossip. And they can't wait to get to church to gossip about somebody else. Talk about somebody else. It's sad that our tongue can destroy somebody's reputation, somebody's life that fast. Just like that. The Bible has so much to say about the tongue. We're just going to look at a little bit of it tonight. You know, Peter had a problem with his tongue. Peter, the apostle, he said some funny things. Not really funny. He said some foolish things. And I have some of them written down here. Matthew 14, I'm just going to read them to you quickly. You don't have to turn there unless you're that fast, but you can try. Matthew 14:28. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Of course, Peter was the only apostle that wanted to get out of the boat and walk to Jesus. Jesus said, "Come on, Peter, you want to do this? Let's go. You're pretty brave." All right, so you know the story. Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking. He starts looking around at the waves and the wind, and he starts to sink because he got his eyes off the Lord. But if it wasn't for the Lord there to help him and get him out of the water, he probably would have drowned. I don't know. But he made that bold statement. How many times do you and I make bold statements? I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Yeah, right? I mean, we make those statements so emphatically. Peter said in Matthew 16:22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." When Jesus was saying, "I've got to go to Jerusalem, I've got to suffer and I have to die, and I'll be raised after 3 days and three nights," Peter says, "You're not going to do it, Lord." And the Lord, Peter is rebuking the Lord for that. The Lord had to rebuke him and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because Jesus had to go to Jerusalem. He had to suffer. He had to die. That was just what he had to do. Peter said in Matthew 17 in verse 4, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses, one for Elias." That's on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter just had to say something. There was times that Peter just would not keep his mouth shut. "Peter, just be quiet. Don't say anything." And yet he had to make statements. And in that particular time, God the Father, the voice from heaven, had to rebuke Peter. "This is my beloved son, hear him." Matthew 18:21, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus said, "No, it's not seven times, Peter, it's 70 times seven you are to forgive." Matthew 19:27, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Lord, we've left everything and we've done everything for you. What do we get out of this whole deal?" Matthew 26:33. "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." You know what happened there, don't you? In verse 35, Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples." And then in Matthew 26, verses 70 through 74, "But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." Peter should have thought before he spoke. How many times have you or I should have thought before we spoke? In John 21, in verse 21, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, And what shall this man do? Talking about John the Apostle. The Lord was explaining to John what was going to happen, explaining to Peter what was going to happen. And Peter was a little jealous because Peter was told how he was going to die. He was going to be crucified upside down. And John didn't get any such thing. And so Peter was a little upset with that. Somebody said this, if your mind should go blank, don't forget to turn off the sound. You got to write that down. If your mind goes blank, don't forget to turn off the sound. Sometimes when the mind goes blank, we forget to turn off the sound. We just keep right on going, right on going. But then, you know, Peter made some good and godly statements. Not too many, but a few that he made was good. We'll look at them real quick. Matthew 16:16. Matthew 16:16. This is a good godly statement that Peter made in Matthew 16:16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Say amen to that if that's correct. That's correct. He made it very clear. Thou art the Christ. In other words, Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Look at John chapter 6. John 6, verses 68 and 69. John 6, 68 and 69. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. What he said was correct. That was a good statement. Look at John 21 again. John 21. John 21 and verse 15. John 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Lord, you know that I love you. His statements and sermons in the book of Acts shows that Peter learned how to correct his language and he learned how to speak clearly and properly. That's what we all need to learn in our own lives. God gives a lot of instruction in the Word of God when it comes to our mouths and it comes to our tongue and it comes to His Word. The tongue obviously can be used for good or it can be used for bad. James chapter 3. Pretty much the whole chapter deals with the tongue. James chapter 3. James 3, verse 1, My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. A minister was making a wooden trellis to support a climbing vine, and as he was pounding away, he noticed that A little boy came along and was watching him make this thing. The youngster didn't say a word, so he just stood there. And as he stood there, the preacher just kind of looked at him and kept on working, thinking the lad would leave, but he didn't. Pleased at the thought that his work was being admired, the pastor finally said, "Well, son, trying to pick up some pointers on gardening?" "No," he replied, "I'm just waiting to hear what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." Didn't know what the preacher said when he hit his thumb with a hammer. What does the preacher say when he hits his thumb with a hammer? I know. I've said it many a times. "Ouch! That hurts. You idiot, what'd you do that for?" Right? You hit the wrong nail, you dummy. Anyway. The tongue can get us in a whole lot of trouble. Benjamin Franklin said, "A slip of the foot, you may soon recover, but a slip of the tongue, you may never get over." Go over to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8. "For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory." That's interesting that God would say that there about His people, because that is what brought destruction to Israel. Their mouths. That's what brings destruction to you and I. Probably 90% of the time is our mouths. What causes problems in our families? It's our mouths. What causes problems in churches at times? The mouth of somebody or a group of people trying to, whatever it is that they're trying to do. I go back to that text in the book of Proverbs real quick. Chapter, which one was it? 18 and verse 20? No, 20 verse 18. No, 18 verse 21. Yeah, I know that. I'm looking right at it, but I couldn't find it. You ever do that? Look right at it and can't find it? Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Recently, I shared with you, I finished reading the book, The Auschwitz Escape by Joel Rosenberg. It was a novel. It wasn't completely nonfiction. It was a mixture of two things. I think Paul is starting to read it, or at least you got the book. Gene Downauer is reading the book. It's an amazing book. I had a hard time getting through it because of the things that were there with the death camps in Poland and other places during World War II with the Nazis. But I thought about this verse when I was reading the book. The commandant of the camp, as the trains were unloading, he would stand there or sit at a desk, a table, and they would log everybody's information in when they got off the trains. Everybody would get into a straight line, and they would come up to the table, and they would give their name and their address, and they would have to give any of their stuff. They couldn't keep any of their belongings whatsoever. They had to give it all up. Eventually, they had to get rid of their clothing and put on certain clothing. But as they came to the table, the commandant would just simply look at individuals and he would say two words. He would say left or right. You heard me say this a few weeks ago, maybe. Left or right. It's your left, this is my right, but I'm doing it for your sake. Left or right. That's all he would say. He would look at the people walking to the table, and when they got there, he would say left or right. They had no idea what was going on. They didn't know what he meant by that. Many of the people that went to the right didn't understand it either until after a while. Then they knew exactly what it was. But those that went to the left went immediately into the gas chambers and were exterminated. They were old people. They were infirm. people that were sick or hunched over or whatever, and little kids. Because they didn't want to be bothered with the old, the elderly, the sick, or the little kids. They went to the gas chambers immediately. They walked them in. Everybody thought they were just taking a shower. They were told to get undressed and enter the showers. They would get undressed. They'd go into the showers. And then instead of water, gas would come out. I forget the name of the gas. It started with a Z. And they were killed. Those that went to the right had different jobs within the camp. Some of those people that went to the right had the job of going into the gas chambers after the gas cleared up and picking up those dead bodies and putting them on wooden carts and taking them to the crematorium and putting them in and burning the bodies. Some of those individuals that went to the right had no idea what they were in for until they were assigned various jobs. But there was this big, huge smokestack that was coming out of the center of Auschwitz. And it emitted a horrible, horrible smell in the dark smoke. They just didn't know what it was. What is that awful smell? What are they doing there? It wasn't soon after they got there that they found out what that was. And everybody dreaded that place. And they did everything they could to try to get out of there. They would make prisoners stand for literally hours and sometimes days without moving. And if you started to just pass out a little bit, they'd shoot you on the spot. And then they'd carry you off to the crematoriums. But when I was reading that book and I thought of that verse, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I don't know if this is true, but I think that hell's got a special place for people like the commandant of those death camps that simply said left or right. Some of the people that actually got saved as a result of some of the people that were there at these camps that were strong, born-again Christians, but many of them obviously did not. Most people that went into the death camps never survived. Over 1 million people were exterminated in Auschwitz alone. That was the biggest. Auschwitz literally included 40 other little concentration camps around it. It was a huge place. It's in Poland, South Poland. Brother Bill Grady, that was here a couple of weeks ago, had been there twice. And he's written about it. He knows a lot of history about that. But the power of death in life, just in the tongue, left and right, left you died, right you survived for as long as you could in that place. Go over to, while you're there in Proverbs, go over to chapter 6. In verse 17. In verse 16, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A lying tongue, a tongue that lies, just continually lies and lies and lies. You know that God hates that? God hates lies. Why does he hate lies so much? It's because he's a God of truth. And God never has ever, ever told a lie. There's no lies. Jesus had never told a lie. God had never told a lie. The Bible tells us it's impossible for God to lie in the book of Titus. God cannot lie. Satan is the father of lies. He started the whole lying process. God hates it when you or I lie about something. Simple lie. You might think it's just a little white lie, you know, it's a cute little lie. It's not in God's book. Verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. There's that tongue again. Look at chapter 10 and verse 20. 10 and verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. 15. Soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to anger, but answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. 16:1. Preparations of the heart of in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We would all do good to ask God to help us with our tongues. Because, folks, it is impossible for you or I to control the tongue without God. You can't do it. 17:4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a haughty tongue. Verse 20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. 21:6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. And it goes on and on and on. Verse 23, but whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Would you like to be trouble-free? Well, a lot of it deals with the way we talk to people, how we respond to people, how we communicate with one another. 26:28, chapter 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Just a flattering mouth worketh ruin. 31:26. She openeth her mouth, this is the Proverbs 31 woman, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Boy, the Bible has a lot to say about the tongue. Has a lot to say about how we talk to one another. Proverbs 11, go back to Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Talebearer is a gossip. They just love to gossip about different people, different situations. It doesn't matter what they say. They have that. Listen, I think it's an addiction. Gossip is an addiction that some people have a real hard time controlling. 1 Timothy, go to the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and look at verse 13. 1 Timothy 5:13. 5:13, 1 Timothy. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. There's that gossip again, going from house to house. Nowadays we have the cell phones, we have the telephones, we have texting, we have emails. We have all different kinds of means. You don't have to leave your house to gossip about somebody anymore. You can stay home and do it just right from your phone. Amen. Our tongue can get us into a lot of trouble. But also our tongue can be used for good. You take a look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you know you need your tongue to get saved. You need your mouth to get saved. You need to speak those words. You need to tell Jesus that you are a sinner. You need to confess the fact that you are a sinner. You need to ask him to save you. You need to call upon his name. You're not going to be saved unless you call and ask him to save you. I know you can do it from your heart, but the Bible says here, he equates the mouth and the tongue and the words. He equates it with our heart. And so our tongue can be used for salvation, to be saved. So the tongue is not only can get us into a lot of trouble, or it's that life or death situation. The tongue needs to be used for salvation. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to talk to God. You need to ask him to save your soul. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11. Philippians 2:11, it says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every single person that's ever been born will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with their tongue someday. Everybody will. Everybody. Saved and lost. Obviously, the best thing to do is to confess him now, because you're going to confess him eventually. Wouldn't it be better to confess him now in salvation? And so the next time that you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ and you bow your knee and you speak with your mouth that you're confessing and naming him as Lord, then he says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Something like that, whatever he's going to say to us. And so everybody's going to confess Jesus Christ someday with their tongue, with their mouth. It's interesting that in Luke chapter 16, the rich man wanted Lazarus to come and just dip the tip of his finger in water and just touch his tongue. His tongue. I know his tongue was parched, his tongue was dry, his tongue was thirsty. There's no water in hell, he's being burned, he's going through torments. But if he had just used his tongue right before he died, he wouldn't be in that situation now. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. How important is your tongue? How important are the words that you say to your loved ones, people you work with? How important is that? I'm thankful that God gave us a tongue that we can communicate and talk. Aren't you? We're blessed with that. Animals can't do that. Dogs, their tongues hang out and, you know, but they can't communicate with us. All they do is bark at one another. I don't know what they're saying. They're out there saying something, but we can communicate with one another. We have that ability to be able to speak with our tongues. God did something special with our tongues so we could talk. Not in a negative way, not in a bad way. Not with cursing and swearing and gossip and all of this stuff. But God gave us the ability primarily to speak to Him. To talk to Him. To preach the gospel. To tell somebody how to be saved. To bring honor and glory to God. To praise His name in worship. To sing the songs that we sing about the Lord. That's what our tongues are for. God blessed us with our tongues, but so often we abuse them by saying things that we shouldn't say. Let's tonight, as we close this up, let's think about how we talk. Let's listen more and speak less. You do not, listen to me, you do not have to get the last word in. I know you think you do, but you don't have to get the last word in. You'd be better off just shutting down, excuse the expression, just shutting up and don't say anymore. If you get into an argument with somebody, just shut up. Just stop. You don't want to say anything that is going to make matters worse. That is not an easy thing to do. I know. I have a problem with my own tongue. Amen. We all do. We get into an argument, a discussion, and we have to have the last word. Got to make sure I get that last word in there. And usually the last word is the worst word. It's usually not good. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for what the Bible talks about. We only